Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, how many traveling exhibits does Scattered Among the Nations have? Scattered Among the Nations is a nonprofit organization dedicated to educating the Jewish and non-Jewish world about the beauty and diversity of the Jewish people. They assist geographically and politically isolated Jewish or Judaism-practicing communities to continue embracing the Jewish religion and culture, while documenting these communities as they are today before they disappear through immigration or assimilation. Writer-photographer Brian Schwartz, photographer Sandy Carter, and journalist Jay Sand have visited dozens of the most isolated Jewish communities in the world in recent years. Their acclaimed book, Scattered Among the Nations, was published in 2015, and documents populations that remain on the geographic and cultural fringes of the Jewish diaspora through unique photographs and interviews. In addition, the organization works directly with over a dozen communities in Africa, Asia, Europe, and Latin America. They help these communities through different projects such as fundraising, education, holiday support, and facilitating Aliyah to Israel. Within the United States, they have several traveling exhibits of photographs of these communities and seminars about them. Brian Schwartz, chairman and president of Scattered Among the Nations, spoke with us about the organization and the book.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Brian. Could you first tell us a little bit about yourself, your own background, and how you became interested in photography?
Yeah, I was living in Spain, actually, and I was a student at the time, and I would travel around to different communities on the weekends, different parts of Europe, and then I would always spend Shabbat with the Jewish community wherever I would visit, and I decided I was going to go on a trip down to North Africa, and I looked up in my Lonely Planet guide, Jews in the index in the North Africa guide, and it said there was this community off the coast of Tunisia in Djerba.
Ah, yes.
That was one of the oldest communities in the world, and there was 15 synagogues on this little island, and they had the oldest Torah in the world, and this amazing history, and I was just fascinated and decided that I needed to go check it out. And as a writer and as a photographer, I'd always loved taking pictures, but I had never done it professionally, but I knew I could take good pictures, and I decided to bring those elements together that I could help illuminate some of the diversity of our Jewish world, and that there must be other communities like this all around the world that I could visit and help share with.
How long ago
Jewish
was that?
That was now almost 20 years ago.
Oh, wow. Tell us about Scattered Among the Nations, the organization. Who started it and when and why?
I started Scattered Among the Nations in 2001, 2002 time period to educate about Jewish diversity around the world, but also to help some of the most isolated Jewish communities that were being ignored by mainstream Jewish organizations, and by making people aware of the communities, and then maybe people would be inspired to help them. And then also it started with a specific project helping this community of Inca Jews in Peru, in the Andes of Peru. So I was able to help them with this new organization to bring a panel of Israeli rabbis authorized by the chief rabbi of Israel to come and formally recognize this community, and hundreds of the people in the community were able to fulfill their dream of making Aliyah, immigrating to Israel.
Are more people working on this with you, or are you doing it all yourself?
Well, it's a nonprofit. It has a board of directors and everything else, but it is a volunteer-led organization, and I am usually the volunteer.
What are some of the other communities you've helped?
Well, we've helped the House of Israel Jewish community in West Africa, Ghana, West Africa, to sell their handicrafts for many years. We've helped the B'nai Menashe to sell handicrafts and to raise money and things. We helped the B'nai Menashe in northeastern India now with a history project where they're compiling interviews with all the people who first founded their community in the modern era, and all those personal histories are being compiled, and it's going to be a really fascinating anthropological and sociological and everything else kind of study. So those are just a few examples of projects we have that help communities. We send help to the Peruvian Inca Jews every year for high holidays and Passover and just things like that. The most consistent activity we've had over the years has been putting on educational exhibits and lectures to educate about Jewish diversity. We've had dozens of exhibits across the country.
The exhibits that you have held all over the country, where have they been, and what do they consist of?
Well, I have one that's wrapping up right now this week in Northern California at the Peninsula Jewish Community Center, which is a big hub of Jewish activity in Silicon Valley area. And this exhibit has been traveling for several years now. It's called Jews of Color Renaissance, and it's an exhibit that has some of my photographs and photographs from one of my colleagues, Jay Sand, of diverse Jewish communities around the world, paired with big canvases, big paintings by an urban artist who was inspired by the photographs and how they challenged stereotypes and made these awesome paintings of some of the diverse Jews. So we have JewsOfColorRenaissance.org if you want to see more about that.
And so I imagine that if somebody, some organization is interested in one of these exhibits, that's where they should contact you, right?
Yeah, at scatteredamongthenations.org is the nonprofit's website. Mm-hmm. And you can contact me through there or email scatteredamongthenations@gmail.com. Or this current exhibit is one of three that we have that four different exhibits that we have that are traveling, and it's called JewsOfColorRenaissance.org. Mm-hmm. You can check out some of the paintings and photographs that illustrate Jewish diversity in a pretty striking way.
You also do seminars, is that correct?
Yeah, we do seminars typically frequently with the exhibits. So we'll have an exhibit up and then we'll come out and do a talk and things like that. And we've done it for kids, we've done it for seniors, we've done it for all different age groups and, you know, women's organizations, men's club, and we've done it for non-Jewish audiences and Jewish audiences. We have one coming up at the public library in a town here in the Bay Area for the whole community. It's a town where they've been dealing with some anti-Semitism, and we thought this was a great message to bring to the town to show how diverse Jewish people are and shatter some of the stereotypes about Jews.
So the seminars and the exhibits, have they only been in the United States, or have you done anything anywhere else?
They have only been in the United States, though we'd be delighted to have them in other countries as well.
Something I'd like to get back to is how you help these international Jewish communities. You mentioned the handicrafts. What are some of the other things that you do?
Well, we send aid for Jewish holidays. We have this oral history project that we're helping the B'nai Menashe facilitate right now to document the history of their amazing community. We have in the past helped with major initiatives for communities like the Jewish community in Peru, the Inca Jews that we helped to make Aliyah. There's a project, for example, of the Abayu Daya in Uganda, where they want to build a community center. And we're talking about, you know, we'd like to help them. So there's, you know, different, a lot of different ways that we've helped isolated Jewish communities over the years. So I think our most significant help has just been in introducing a lot of people around the United States to these communities so that they can make their own initiatives.
Where do you get your funding?
Well, for most of our history, we haven't had a lot of exterior funding other than kind of one-off donations. We have, but we did get a grant from a major foundation here in the last year to do educational programs specifically around Northern California. So that strategy of starting to get grants from major granting organizations, you know, could open up other opportunities, hopefully.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you about was facilitating the Aliyah to Israel. And it surprised me a little bit because on the one hand, your mission is to assist isolated communities to overcome adversity and continue embracing the Jewish religion and culture. And but then if you facilitate Aliyah to Israel, doesn't that sort of make the local culture and practice of Jewish, you know, of Judaism kind of disappear? I mean, if the whole community goes to Israel.
Well, that's an interesting question. So I don't choose for communities what their goals are. You know, I don't live in Israel. I live in California. So I don't have an agenda of pushing people to go to Israel who aren't interested in going at all. But different communities have different objectives. And, you know, as far as their continuing their Jewish practice, some would like to continue and strengthen their Jewish practice where they live. Some really feel that they can't get teachers, they can't get kosher food, they don't have access to important institutions that in major Jewish centers we take for granted, like a mikvah or things like that. And, you know, for very religious people, it becomes very, very difficult for them to practice living in isolation, and they really crave joining the larger Jewish community in Israel. And so if I can help them achieve that goal of theirs, then, you know, I'm delighted to be able to help them. And my concern is, you know, just that they be accepted and treated like part of the Jewish family the way that they should be. So it isn't as fascinating as it is to find Jewish communities living in isolation. You know, it's not for me to decide that they need to stay there because I find it fascinating. If their lives are going to be better and more fulfilling if they're able to join a major Jewish center, then, you know, I'm all for whatever's going to help them.
How are they received in Israel? These groups, let's say, who are either from Africa or from India or from Peru, or these very small minority groups from, you know, is there a racial problem? Because obviously we know that the Ethiopian Jews have a racial problem in Israel.
Well, I don't think it's as simple as that. I mean, I think that Israel has done more to facilitate immigration to its country than practically any other country that's ever existed. I mean, they've absorbed over the last decade or so, something like 20-30% of the population of the country in immigrants of people who desperately want to go there. And they've woven them into society in a way that's really remarkable and kind of unprecedented, at least in modern times. But that said, I don't think Israel is free from problems that we face in the United States and a lot of other countries with racism and things like that. And it's unfortunate, but the good news is that Israel has an equal employment opportunity ministry and a lot of other societal safeguards to fight discrimination. And I think that's a vibrant part of the democracy there, is fighting the discrimination. That doesn't mean that discrimination doesn't exist, but they do have safeguards in place and recourse. What I can tell you about the communities that I'm in touch with who have made Aliyah to Israel, like Northeastern India and Andes in Peru, they're just ecstatic to be there. And they're incredibly grateful and patriotic. And they love being in Israel. And so you know, I don't know that that means they haven't suffered any obstacles or anything else, but I know that they're delighted to be there and they feel that they're fulfilled being there.
That's great. Tell us about the book. Was the book a product of the project, or did the project grow out of the photography that later went into the book?
The book was the initial inspiration that I had about 19 years ago or so. I got this idea that I would go and visit these communities all over the world and document them and photograph them and write about them and share them in a coffee table style book, a book of big photographs. So, you know, that was my initial impetus. It was when I went and visited communities and saw some of the needs that they have that I got inspired to do more with it. And we started a nonprofit and things like that because of my nature as an advocate. In my day job, I'm a civil rights lawyer. So that's kind of how I come at the world. And the exhibits started because, you know, we had all this great material and I wanted to share it and educate about it. And the book was taking a long time to get published. So we started doing exhibits, and over years we had dozens of exhibits before the book finally did come out. But I am proud and excited that after 17 or so years of working on it, in a year and a half ago, was it a year and a half ago, or maybe it was almost 2 years ago, that the book finally came out. So it's exciting to have it out there in the world, scatteredamongthenations.com.
Is there anything else that you would like to add that we might have left out?
Well, I think that there's a lot of talk and concern in major Jewish centers that demographics are not favoring the Jewish people and that the Jewish people are shrinking people, things like that. And when you learn about some of these isolated Jewish communities of people who are eager to be counted among the Jewish people and want to be a part of the Jewish people, and are passionate about it and practicing with incredible fervor. And, you know, I think it's inspiring, and it's just an important counter message to the people talking about the dwindling Jewish people or assimilation, things like that. There are an important number of communities around the world that could really change that equation over time. I mean, some of the communities, you know, like the B'nai Menashe, if more of that tribe winds up coming and being interested in embracing their Jewish heritage and so forth, it's millions of people that could come into the Jewish community. And, you know, and there are a number of examples like that. So it's an exciting trend, and I think it's escalated by global ability to communicate that we have now, where there are isolated communities that are able to access the world Jewish community in a way that they were not able to a couple of decades ago when I started the project, and now are being able to express their Judaism more and join the world Jewish community in a way that they were not in the past. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I hope that this helps people who don't realize that there are all these communities all over the world to kind of be inspired, because I think that it's really very exciting what you're doing.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner at RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.